Please stand with me
as I read the scripture this morning from the Gospel of Matthew. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if my brother or sister sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of God may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, the Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and seized him by the throat. He said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." This is the reading of the Gospel of Matthew. Please be seated. As you can ascertain, today's message is about forgiveness. And with that word, I'm sure there's all sorts of stuff rising. So it's here. Serena Jones, author of Call It Grace, writes of life, wrestling with divorce, our fractured world, and forgiveness. With authenticity and full disclosure, she comes to this conclusion in regard to letting go. The dizzy freedom of forgiveness felt scary, but the growing weight of not forgiving, I knew, would eventually destroy me and poison my daughter. It was then I realized why forgiveness is so hard. It was because forgiveness lets people off the hook, which I had so often tricked myself into thinking. We can't forgive people and still hold them accountable. What makes forgiveness hard is its demand that we give up the snugly warm blankets of hate we believe will protect us from future harm. We fear that if we let go of that protection, the evils of the world will ravage us further. But this animal-like fear hides the fact that we are already being ravaged, not protected by the hatred enveloping us. The hatred that we believe shields us is the hatred that kills us. In the upside-down kingdom, the one that is so contrary to our world, Jesus leads us into the essence of what it means to be children of God. What is the glue of community living? What is the foundation of love built upon? Today's lesson is challenging. When Peter asked the question of how many times am I to extend forgiveness, he sincerely thought seven was enough. The customs of the Jewish people had come to the number three. You only need to forgive three times. Their reasoning was God only forgave three times, not on the fourth. So Peter, in his mind, is thinking seven, twice the amount of three, plus one. I'm thinking Peter thinks he's doing pretty good. But then Jesus speaks. And whenever Jesus speaks, a new perspective is brought to the table, an otherworldly view. 70 times seven was the response, far more than Peter and the disciples would ever have dreamed or comprehended. Far more than seven. So the good shepherd tells a tale. Knowing help is required to comprehend forgiveness. A story of a wealthy king and servants. A servant comes to him, being held accountable for his debts. The king is asking for payment. Billions of dollars in our economy. Not possible for this servant to pay. But the servant begs. He kneels at the feet of the king, not wanting he or his family to be enslaved, not wanting his possessions to be taken. Notice the debt was not the question, but the inability to pay is devastatingly clear. The servant knows he's without hope, but then the king grants an amazingly generous gift. The king absolves him of all his debt. He clears the slate, wipes out the incredible amount of money owed, and sets the servant free. Such a profound generosity. Can you imagine the great relief? I would expect this servant to go out and be shouting from the mountaintops. He doesn't owe any money anymore. I would expect him to be celebrating with his family that they will not be enslaved. I would expect a celebration of gratitude and thanksgiving. But that is not what happens, is it? The story highlights the response of a servant in light of generosity. How quickly he forgets and grabs the first person he sees that owes him money, an enormous sum, a whopping $700. Jesus is using this analogy to bring home the point of how little our debts are to each other in comparison to what God gives. This is not diminishing the depths of pain, abuse, or trauma induced by humans, but a sharp reality check of God's generosity to us. Webster says, forgiveness is to give up resentment against or the desire to punish or pardon. Often, when we misunderstand the forgiveness, we think it means to excuse the great harm, the oppressive behavior, or to condone patterns that are injurious to us, not becoming of an image bearer. In counseling, therapy, and spiritual direction, we learn about barriers, separations, and ways to protect ourselves by putting a stop to our enabling practices or removing our presence from those who would do us harm. And please understand that just like grieving, forgiveness takes time. It is a form of loss, a grappling with what we thought, what we expected, what we had hoped for, confronted with the reality of what actually is. Thankfully, in our day and age, we have centers and therapists to help us navigate human behavior that is destructive. Yet because we follow Jesus, there is an expectation to practice letting go as God's compassion has demonstrated for us. The practice of letting go, of forgiving, requires a healthy grasp of grace. God's care for our well-being is such a priority. Christ ensures that nothing will separate us from himself. Through Christ, we are bonded by the Spirit of mercy, never to be shunned, shamed, or condemned. If I do not understand the generosity of God's grace and the reality of my humanity, I will not be able to forgive. One could say I'm out of touch. I do not understand the grounding foundation of the kingdom of love. To understand grace, we must comprehend our need for it and the limited capabilities or capacities of our human self. Bliss often states we are beginners. I believe we are on a learning curve in regard to kingdom living, and as humans, we are not capable of perfection. Not happening. If we can't see our flaws, we are unable to accept grace. We have not understood that some of our actions are not in alignment with our commitment to Jesus. And we miss the storyteller's point. The servant did not understand how great was the debt. Writer Clint R. Snodgrass, in Stories with Intent, highlights the reaction of the servant. It was fully within the servant's rights to demand payment. But let me interject. It is within our rights to demand payment, but perhaps this is the point of forgiveness. Back to Snodgrass. What makes his action reprehensible and shifts the allegiance of hearers is the contrast between the treatment he received and the treatment he gave. The contrast is heightened by the similarity of wording, the request both of them had for mercy. The intent of the parable is that the God's prior action of mercy and forgiveness is to be extended to other people. To be human is to understand we need forgiveness. It is to comprehend we do sin, which is anything contrary to the ways of the kingdom. To be kingdom followers requires that the generosity of our gracious God be extended to everyone. When considering forgiveness, we must embrace our flesh. We must accept that we are not going to live perfectly, and neither is any human next to us. Peter was so focused on the other guy, he wasn't even considering his own state. I know I'm like Peter. I'm so bothered by someone else's behavior that does not line up with my values, my vision, or vanity, let's be honest, that I am blinded by my own conduct. We are going to fall, we're going to slip, we're going to fail, and we need the new mercies every day. And to consider forgiveness, I must grasp that I need to be forgiven. I need God's generosity. I cannot possibly fix the many ways I have hurt and injured others in my life. I can't pay it back. If I had to account for every unkind word, action, or behavior to others, I'd be crushed by its gravity. But I have a God who has made peace with all of it, obliterated the slate. No marks against me. I have a God who has let go of any debt I owe and expects me to do likewise. As I've been praying about this climate of forgiveness, we are commissioned to spread. I was struck that forgiveness is threefold, and I might add a fourth. One is forgiving God, which I realize is audacious to say. Might Peter's question infer a sense of what are you going to do? Often when we are confronted with life and its hardships, we get angry at God, because God is not fixing things the way we want, right? We want God to just get rid of all injustice, oppression, and pain. We struggle with who is granted life and who is not. We watch as the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. We want to live in a world unobstructed by evil. And that is a beautiful thing, because that means the heart of the kingdom is in us. But in order to live on earth, we are called to surrender to God. I am not God, although at times I think I am. I believe we have to come to terms with this. Seriously, the ancient one is not or will not reign as much as we'd like him to. And frankly, I think it's a good thing. When I say not reign, I'm looking and I'm seeing a little puzzlement. What I mean by that, God's not going to do what we'd like him to do, okay? Just not going to happen. Because I know myself, and I know some other people, I'd much rather nestle in the arms of forgiveness and mercy than be obliterated by someone else's anger. I think of Star Wars with the lasers, I'd be dead. I think there'd be a lot of blood around here. Anyway, so forgiving God, forgiving ourselves, to allow ourselves to be human. We really need to release ourselves from expectations that are unreasonable. I had to forgive myself recently. I became aware of it, of my aging. Sounds stupid. But I was mad at myself because I can't do what I did 5 years ago or 2 years ago. Sounds ridiculous, but I was actually angry with my body and God about it. So anyway, we all have these expectations of perfection that we hold that just are not real. We hold ideas that might be befitting of artificial intelligence, but not human beings. And being human, it is accepting, I hold in this form the propensity for good and for evil. And as I embrace this paradox in my body and grace, I can acknowledge the components of my humanity and others. Because the one who can condemn, the one who could judge, has granted me freedom in Christ. Jesus is awesome. Just adding. So may I not forget how great a grace I've been given, and then remember to pass it on to others. We must forgive others. This is hard. God cannot be part of practices that exclude others from love. Undeserved as we may believe some to be, in Christ we contain the wisdom of knowing that but by God's grace, there go I. So I release my hold. I let go of what is owed and surprisingly am lighter with no longer carrying that burden. And I'm just going to add a little bit here. Fourthly, the church. I think we need to forgive the church because the church hasn't measured up for any of us, has it? Really hasn't. I've had my own journey with forgiveness in that area. And so I just put that out to all of you as well because the church has done some really ugly, ugly things in the name of Christ. So that might be part of your journey as well. Wilda C. Gaffney, the author of A Woman's Lectionary for the Whole Church, translates 1 John 2:7 through 10 this way. Whoever says, I am in the light, while hating a sister or brother, is in the shadow still. Whoever loves a sister or brother lives in the light, and in such a person there is no occasion for stumbling. But whoever hates another sister or brother is in shade, walks in shadow, and does not know where to go because the shadow dims the eyes. Martin Luther King Jr. says, anyone who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power to love. There is some good in the worst of us and some evil in the best of us. When we discover this, we are less prone to hate our enemies. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. And one more. Jack Kornfield says, forgiveness is letting go of past suffering and betrayal, a release of the burden of pain and hate that we carry. Forgiveness honors the heart's greatest dignity. Whenever we are lost, it brings us back to the ground of love. With forgiveness, we become unwilling to attack or wish harm to another. We have a liturgy at All Souls and embraces the need for confession and then celebrates the forgiveness available in Christ. This is the liturgy of the faithful. If we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive. And then we sing the Alleluia, looking in gratitude at each other for our blessed freedom. Family of God, it's a difficult message. Each of us has experience with this word, forgiveness. Each of us have let go of what people might owe. And we too have been released as well. But this work often is painful and can be a process that takes years and a struggle. Do not dismiss your pain, but do not hold on to the hatred. As I close, may there be someone who has popped into your thoughts with today's topic. Maybe there might be an invitation to forgive. And as you consider your relationship with God, others, and self, and the church, might you find a need to release something you did not realize you carried. Or maybe the Spirit is telling you it is time for sharing what God has given to another. I will leave you to reflect.